rather than the pocket. Well, we pick up in Genesis 4, chapter 4 and 5 today, as we have been going through the book. Dr. Stokes and I are trying to continue to keep things rolling. As we move forward with this series in Genesis, I wanted to take some time and remind you, as Pastor Bruce has mentioned too, if you look closely, we will be seeing patterns in the stories of the families. We will see patterns of God in those these stories. When you see the pattern, pay close attention and you will learn something God may have for you and for all of us. It's amazing the small details the Lord had for us from the beginning, but we can miss it if we are not attuned to paying close attention to those details. In the story ahead today, I will try to get through two chapters. Pray for me to do that. But I will pay close attention, but we will all tend to move fast. I will tend to move fast because, as you know, I get nervous and I talk quickly. So let's see how it goes. I named this title of the sermon, Two Choices, His Way or the... There's quite a bit of sayings in this way. I've heard it said, His Way or the World's Way, His Way or the Devil's Way. There's always two choices. I've heard it said, His Way or the Byway. And finally, the one you may know the best, His Way or the Highway, right? And so, as you see the patterns and we go through this story, you're going to see that there are two choices as we get to Cain and Abel as well. If we are walking with Him, then we truly will seek His Word, know His Word and His ways, and seek His will when we are in a point where we need direction and decisions have to be made. No matter how tough things get, we must choose His way, or we will end up going the opposite way. In these passages, as you're turning, or if you've already found Genesis 4, you will start to see three different patterns emerge today. A pattern can start to be seen after the second time a behavior is shown. And so today, you will see how the Lord's compassion and His mercy continue on with Adam and Eve's children. He warns His children of going the opposite way. We must learn not to test the Lord thy God, as Jesus also talked about during the desert and telling Satan to get behind him, and you shall not test the Lord. Those who did wrong, a second one, you will see, those who did wrong move away from the comfort zone of home. However, it does not appear that God pushes Cain away in this story. He leaves on his own. The younger of the siblings is the one who gets the blessing. It appears that the lineage of blessings is passed down through one line, and we'll see that throughout the book of Genesis, and not both lines a lot of times. Pay attention to these three things as we read through it today. I want to remind you at this time that there was no Torah, no commands written for these Gentiles, if you will. Yet the children of Adam and Eve seem to know right from wrong, and even seem to know the sacrificial system. I'm going to try something a little bit different for myself today. You guys can give me feedback afterwards. But I'm going to read all the way through chapter 4 and then go back. So I don't have to worry about missing a verse, but I will focus on some details throughout chapter 4, and then we'll move on to chapter 5. You can ask questions later. If I miss something of detail and you want to know about, I'm open to answering that as well. But let's read through the whole chapter of Genesis. Some of you may just want to sit back, relax, and hear the book, the chapter read, and others will follow along. But here in chapter 4 of Genesis, it says, "Now the man had relations with his wife Eve. She conceived and gave birth to Cain, and she said, 'I have gotten a man-child for the help of the Lord.' Again, she gave birth to his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground." We have a rancher and we have a farmer. "So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. But for Cain, for his offering, he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. Cain told Abel, his brother, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? He said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. Now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you cultivate the ground, it will no longer yield its strength to you. You will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is too great to bear. Behold, you have driven me this day from the face of the ground, and from your face I will be hidden, and I will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. So the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance will be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord appointed a sign for Cain so that no one, finding him, would slay him. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Cain had relations with his wife, and she conceived and gave birth to Enoch. And he built a city and called the name of the city Enoch, after the name of his son. Now to Enoch was born Irad, and Irad became the father of Mahujael, and Mahujael became the father of Methuselah, and Methuselah became the father of Lamech. Lamech took to himself two wives, and the name of the one was Adah, and the name of the other Zillah. Adah gave birth to Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in the tents and have livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who play with the lyre and pipe. As for Zillah, she also gave birth to Tubal Cain, the forger of the implements of bronze and iron. The sister of Tubal Cain was Naamah. Lamech had two wives, Adah, Zillah. Listen to my voice, you wives of Lamech. Give heed to my speech, for I have killed a man for wandering me, for wounding me, and a boy for striking me. If Cain is avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. I'm going to stop there because, as Dr. Stokes has pointed out, sometimes it seems like certain verses should go into the next chapter, so we'll get to that in a minute. But I want to go backwards. Let's talk about some of these passages of Scripture of chapter 4. And chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, I want to remind you that Cain and Abel couldn't blame their aunts or uncles or their grandparents for any bad behaviors. They only had Adam and Eve. So here we see the brothers and aunt having relationships, right? Because that's all that they had as far as... Now, how many of you have a brother or a sister? Everybody? Quite a few of you? How many of you are single children? Yep. Just so you know, you don't always get along with your siblings, right? Many of us, even those singles, they have kids, right? And so the kids don't always get along. And so, believe it or not, I'm going to preempt this because I can tell you I had a cousin that was like a brother to me, and we would get into arguments and fights. But my sister would get annoying too, and we would argue. And sometimes, if she wanted, we would fight. She would never win. But the same is going on here with Cain and Abel. So, here in verses 3 through 4, Abel, it seems like, or Cain, wants to bring God a sacrifice. It's not written down, but he brings God a sacrifice anyways. And it says in verses 3, so it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Now, I get this because I come from a farming community, not a ranching community, if you will. It is much different. You can ask somebody that has livestock. There's a lot of work that goes into animals whenever they have animals. And then there's also the tilling of the soil. And Abel, on his part, brought the firstlings. So you have Abel that's bringing the firstlings. Cain is the farmer bringing the produce and of the flock of their fat portions Abel brought. And listen to this, the fat portions, the details of the sacrifice are right here that will be explained in Exodus. How? Unless God actually taught them, right? Those details are listed there, and I've heard people say, how would they know? There was no Torah at that time, but somehow they knew. And not only that, they would have had to bring the very best, and they would have not been sacrificing pigs, but what God said would be clean. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. But for Cain, for his offering, he had no regard. Wow, okay there. So we have these going on, and yet I want to point out here, make sure I get back to where I'm at. All right, I want to preempt this a little bit. Sorry. Okay. 2 Corinthians says about our sacrifices, the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows generously will also reap generously. Each one must do just as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So, interesting enough, that it's also said in Exodus 23:19, you shall bring the choice first fruits of your soil into the house of the Lord your God. So, and as I don't want to disappoint you guys, so I wanted to show you, maybe it was Cain's offering that wasn't going to be accepted, or was it his attitude? Or could it have been both? Now, I'm going to ask, I was hoping Kim would be here, but I'll ask Jeremy. Does this look like a very good orange to you? It looks all right, but there's some stuff. Do you see that, Jana? Yeah, it's not looking at the best. Are these limes the best? There's some bruising on them, different things. I would say that this bowl, I even covered it up as I brought it in. I'm like, Lord, this is just an example, right? These aren't the best fruit. But think about Cain's attitude. If he brought the fruit of the ground and he gave it to God, would that be the right attitude? I highly doubt it, and God would hold it against him. But if Abel brought the choice, the best, and right, he's bringing the sacrifice of the animals, you see the difference here. And you can see the attitude difference between the two. I think that's, you're going to see that as this story progresses, if you will. So, while Cain was a farmer, and he had the produce, whether it was not the choicest and best gift, as I said, Cain's attitude will be seen in the various passages ahead. I want to encourage you today to think about your giving over the past year. God convicted me over the past year, if you will, to re-examine our offerings and how I needed to be more joyous and thankful, and he humbled me. Not that a lot of things changed, but a few things did. And I was more humble each time I put tzedakah in that box. So I was more thankful for what he is providing for my family. And we have been blessed by him in so doing as over the past year. So I just want to encourage you all to think about that for yourselves, because it should be a joyous occasion when you're putting your tzedakah in there and you're thanking God for all that he has given to us. He wants our choice. Fruit. He wants our choice giving. He wants our best. And so do it with a joyful attitude and thank him for all he gives you and all he gives us. I do that. There's checks that come in from various people on an automatic basis, and I'll take that when I get the mail and I'll put it in there, and I thank God for what he has given to us and how he has provided through that person. So do me a favor, make it a joyous occasion when you put that tzedakah in that box every time this year ahead. 6 and 7, moving on. God's conversation with Cain about his attitude and countenance. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? Don't you wish you could have a verbal conversation with the Lord? I know I would. I would love to have a verbal conversation and have him correct and guide me like he tried to with Cain. Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will your countenance not be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door and its desire is for you, but you must master it. Think about that. Did Jesus tell Peter? Did he tell his disciples Satan has desired to sift you? Yeah, but I prayed for you. And yet the Lord himself is telling Cain, You have to take control of your sin. Have you ever thought about that? I've heard from various pastors. I've been in various churches, and they seem to think that sin is just always going to happen. But right here, we have an example of what God is telling Cain. Take control of your sin. You rule over your sin. It's possible for you to take control of that. Interesting enough that Pastor Stokes actually pointed this out to us just last week when he was talking about Genesis 3:16, where it talks about you have dominion over your bride and you have to make sure she's walking in the right way, right? And so in the same way, we have to take control over this sin that's crouching at our door. We're all going to have different sin. I can tell you that right now. I struggle in my own ways, and it's always lurking right there. And it always seems to be tempting, or it's just right there just waiting. And I have to give it to him every morning and every night. But that word, rule over, I looked it up. And amazing enough that they use two different words in chapter 3 and chapter 4 in the English. But when I looked it up, it was the exact same word that Dr. Stokes pointed out. So you have to rule over that. You have dominion over it. And the Hebrew is looked like it was sounded out, mashal. You have to mashal over your sin. Rule over it, if you will. Make those right decisions. Walk with God. Follow His ways and not your own ways. Verse 8, Cain's conversation. You get this? So he's having this conversation with God. And then Cain goes to Abel, his brother, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, right? And he kills him. So he's having a conversation with God. And God's like, hey, I didn't like what you brought me, but why are you so upset? Here's Cain. What do you say to a father? You can't respond negatively. Well, you know, I'm struggling. And then God continues. Take control of your emotions. How many of you told that to your kids? Anybody? Nobody? I say it all the time. Take control of your emotions. Will you? And they say, you need to do the same, Papa. And I do. I've been a lot better over the years. I still am not perfect, but I got to take control over these emotions. So you see God here telling Cain, take control of your emotions and it will go well with you. I want it to go well with you. So now he's, okay, that's conversation between God and him. Now Cain's going to Abel. Can you believe it? God told me I have to actually take control over my emotions. I don't have problem with my emotions. Here's Abel on this side. Are you kidding me? Your emotions? You need to get control, brother. Can you imagine this conversation going on between them? And just like me and my cousin, I didn't like what he had to say, and he didn't like what I had to say, and before I know it, I'm fighting him, right? And we're rolling around in the grass till my aunt and her uncle or my mom and dad stop us. But Cain lays into him, and he kills him. Is that not the emotions that he needed to take control over? Wow. Now, I encourage you, as we go through this, did he murder him or did he kill him? We'll get to that in a little bit. So Cain's attitude is going to be seen as his conversation with God, right? He's done with Abel. Abel's dead. His blood's going to cry out here in 9. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? He said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. Like a good parent, you know what your kid's already done. You're having a conversation now. Now you are cursed. So the father's correcting him here. Now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. Listen here, Cain. Here's your discipline for what just happened. When you cultivate the ground, it will no longer yield its strength to you. You will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth. Now, there's your punishment. We all have consequences. That's a natural consequence that God put in place for him. The interesting piece is, I think there's some time that goes on between verse 12 and verse 13. So he's cultivating that ground. It's not yielding the best fruit anymore. It's not the same produce that used to come from the ground. And then you get a change in Cain's attitude. Cain said to the Lord, so in other words, I'm going back to my father. My punishment is too great to bear. Behold, you have driven me this day from the face of the ground, and from your face I will be hidden, and I will be a vagrant and a wanderer. Yep, that's what he just told him would happen on the earth. Whoever finds me will kill me. Now, Adam and Eve must have had a lot more children, because he's worried about them coming back at this point and killing him, right? Abba, you got to do something. I have this gut feeling. Or have you ever had a sin or you continue to commit a sin that people are going to find out? I've got to take control of this. And you keep struggling with it, keep struggling with it. Maybe you should share that with a brother or sister in the Lord. So that way you can be held accountable. That's what God tells us in his word. Share our sins, not publicly, but with one another to encourage one another. And in the same way, you see, Cain is worried here about what others are going to do with him. So, verse 15, we're going to come. It says that the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance will be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord appointed a sign for Cain so that no one finding him would slay him. So whatever it may have been, it could have, you know, whether it was on his head or on his body, nobody could have killed him because the Lord would say seven times that is what's going to happen to that other person. Now, I want to point this out. If you'll turn over to Deuteronomy 4, 41 through 42, it actually goes to verse 49. I'll turn over there as well. I think this actually gives premise to what's going to be put in place here by God in the cities of refuge. You see, because God is actually protecting him here. So let's see, Deuteronomy 4. And again, like I said, it goes to verse 49 where it actually points out the different cities of refuge. But it says, then Moses set apart three cities across the Jordan to the east, that a manslayer might flee there, who unintentionally slew his neighbor without having enmity toward him in time of past. And by fleeing to one of these cities, he might live. So, and it wasn't the person that murdered. They didn't plan it. But it was, God was protecting that person who accidentally killed somebody in this passage of scripture. And it goes on to give those cities throughout the promised land where a manslayer, somebody who accidentally killed somebody, could go for a place of refuge. And it lays it out and how that should be handled. So in the same way, God handles that for Cain. That's why I don't believe that he purposely murdered his brother, because God protects him and says, you know what? Whoever harms Cain will be harmed themselves seven times that much. Now, I will tell you, as a mental health therapist, that when you don't walk with God, those behaviors, those sinful acts are hard to overcome without God. Can they? Yeah, but not fully. And so they are passed down through the generations, those sins and that kind of behavior. But with the Lord, it's so much easier to walk and to turn away from those evil ways. So, but in verse 16, what's it say here? Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Okay, get this as well. Your pastor is not perfect, talking about me. Okay, parents, young people, if you aren't going to live the way your parents want you to live according to the scripture, and you're going out and doing different things, they should say, then you need to go. You got to go. Because in this house, as for us, we will serve the Lord. I say that living on the other end of that. My parents, when I was at the age of 21, 22, said, Trevor, we see the way you're living and we don't like it, but we want you to change and move away from the way you're going. So what happened? That was a Saturday night, as something was said. That next Sunday, I moved out. by all means, they had the right to say, our family in this home will serve the Lord. By all means, I was an adult and I could move out. And I did. Where am I at today, though? I'm serving him. I'm walking with him. But I needed that experience. And if you don't kick your children out, you're not loving them. You're enabling them. If you know that they are living wrong according to what God has put in place. So, sorry, young adults, but that is a pattern that I see with Adam and Eve. They had to go out of the Garden of Eden. And here Cain is. He's leaving on his own accord. I get it. But at the same time, it is a pattern that he wasn't following and he left. Something to really think about, and not easy for the parents. Because I've seen my own grandfather over the years when he was still alive, allowing his son who was doing drugs and was a drug addict come back and forth, back and forth. It's not easy for a parent to do just that. But look at what happens to Cain's lineage here as we move forward. All right, 16. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Some people, as one pastor said, some people in church live in the land of Nod when they nod off every Sunday. Because nobody knows where Nod actually is. Cain had relations with his wife, and she conceived and gave birth to Enoch, and he built a city and called the name of that city Enoch, after the name of his son. Now to Enoch was born Irad, and Irad became the father of Mahujael, and Mahujael became the father of Methuselah, and Methuselah became the father of Lamech. Lamech took him and his two wives, the name of the one Adah, and the name of Zillah. Now I'm just going to move down to 23. Lamech said to his wives, Adah and Zillah, listen to my voice, your wives of Lamech. Give heed to my speech, for I have killed a man for wounding me and a boy for striking me. You hear, Cain? Now we have his great, great, great grandson killing other people. If Cain is avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. God is not saying this, by the way. That is Lamech saying that to his wives. We have the same pattern of behavior that's going on here. Anger can be passed on to the next generation, and it tends to get worse because I've seen it. All right. Now, that's Cain's lineage. And this is why I say, you know, this divide here, maybe chapter 5 should start here. Because we're going to pick up and we're going to see a different line, one that God continues to work through. Adam had relations with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth. For she said, God has appointed me another offspring in place of Abel, for Cain killed him. To Seth, to him also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. Then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Wow. So there we go. We're starting in this new way of following the Lord and calling upon him. I'm going to read this a little bit different in chapter 5 as we get through it fairly quickly. I'm going to read just the lineage and skip verses so you guys hear the when they had their first children. As I do that, it's up to you guys. Kara and I worked through this last night. These small details that were carried over, I know they were carried over by God, but Adam, up until Lamech, was still alive. I know. So, Adam was still alive when Lamech was born. He would have been able to talk to his grandsons, if you will, great, 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 so on, grandsons. So get this. This is a book of the generations of Adam in the day when God created man. He made him in the likeness of God. He created them, male and female. He blessed them and named them man in the day when they were created. When Adam had lived 130 years, he became the father of a son in his own likeness, according to his image, and named him Seth. So in this part, Cain's gone. Seth is the one that's going to go forward. Just like Abraham had Isaac, and then Isaac carried it on, not to Esau, but to Jacob. And Jacob on, right? There's always these others. Now, Then the days of Adam, after he became the father of Seth, were 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Seth lived 105 years and became the father of Enosh. Now, Seth, here we go. Enosh lived 90 years and became the father of Kenan. So here, Kenan lived 70 years and became the father of Mahalalel. And down to 15, Mahalalel lived 65 years and became the father of Jared. Now, Jared lived 162 years and became the father of Enoch. We'll come back to Enoch in just a minute. Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Methuselah lived 187 years and became the father of Lamech. Now, then Methuselah lived 782 years. Can you imagine living that long? I do not know if I want to live that long, right? But these people were living to their hundreds. And so up until this point, Adam was seeing his great, great, great grandchildren born. Because he was 930 years and he died. So Lamech lived. Now, who was the longest living person in this genealogy? It was Methuselah. It says he lived 182 years and became the father of Lamech. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years and he died. Wow. Adam's able to continue to talk and give these perfect details of what happened between Cain and Abel to his grandsons. And then don't you think that would be carried on through Lamech and carried on like Noah would have heard this from various aunts and uncles? And not only that, the details would be seen as the right Cain's lineage and the evil that was in this world was seen as we enter in with Noah. For Lamech lived one. Now he called his name Noah, saying, "This one will give us rest from our work and from the toil of our hands. Arising from the ground which the Lord had cursed." 29, moving on to 30. Then Lamech lived 595 years after he became the father of Noah, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. Noah was 500 years old, and Noah became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So there's the lineage of Seth, not Cain, but it continues on, and the scripture continues to give you, that's where you can find your lineage. I tell my aunts and uncles and different people all the time, I can trace my roots all the way back to Noah, right? Our genes, everything shows us that it can go back to one family, and that is Noah and his wife, Seth, Ham, and Japheth, kind of start to spread out. But I'll leave that to Dr. Stokes as he goes through these passages of scripture in the future. All right, let us pray.